Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Have one more presentation. The Escambia County DMO group representing the hoteliers in the area. Ted Ent is going to speak on behalf of those folks. We appreciate you guys coming here today. We know that you provide wonderful hotels for people to stay in, and that allows us to levy this money to invest back into the community. So,
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
So, who's representing a visit? Is there a,
so visit is not on this for today. This is, they call themselves the DMO. It's the hotel group here.
Oh, so this is not visit. This is not being represented here today.
No, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the weirder parts about this Bay Center meeting that the city and the city council and the mayor, because you've got to make sure that we know that the mayor's not part of city council, right, Charles Bear? Sorry, I can't stop. It's just so silly. And the county commission had this meeting about, you know, the future of the Bay Center, the various proposals involved there. But Visit Pensacola was not a part of this meeting. And, you know, as Ashley Hofberger described it, they didn't reach out and they didn't send anything. And it is a little odd because they have been one of the primary advocates, particularly Darren Schaefer, the current but not contract renewed executive director or CEO. Apologize. Sometimes the titles, I mistake. Anyway, president and CEO maybe. But, you know, he wasn't there. There was nobody officially there on behalf of Visit. And Visit Pensacola is the one that spends all the not all, but they spend a lot of the tourism development tax money. They do the advertising and promotion to try to get people to come here and spend money here and stay here. And I think there are reasons why they weren't in the room, maybe, but it's weird because they have been advocating so much, or at least Darren has been advocating so much for a convention center because we don't have enough space to handle conventions right now. Particularly, we don't have the ballroom space is what we don't have. You know, if you've ever been to the Hilton, you know that it's limited and you can't pack more than a certain amount in there. And for any of these big conventions, you got to have the space for that big, you know, keynote speech and dinner and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so Visit Pensacola was not there. Instead, what you had was the DMO. And that's not really the right term for them. It's the hotel organization, because DMO is like a legal term of art that would actually apply to Visit, because they're the official destination marketing organization for the county. And so probably shouldn't call them the DMO, but we've been calling this other group the DMO for forever. In fact, I think some of those, like Innisfree and some others, put in there that those folks were the ones who were part of the move to split up the Chamber of Commerce like a decade ago into the economic development arm with Florida West, the tourism development arm with Visit Pensacola, and then to, you know, keep the membership roles and a lot of the activities more on the private side for the Chamber of Commerce. All right, now you've had your history lesson. So Visit's not there. You've got the Legends Global folks. That's for the Bay Center Management Organization. You've got the city with their research team. WT is who they hired. Then you've got this so-called DMO, the Hoteliers Organization. And Visit's not in the room. And so it's weird that they're not there. And this is going to come up again. Again, Lumen May and Ashley Hofberger.
The record, Madam Chair, since you had a question, I think Visit is the organization that's tasked that we give millions of dollars to decide who's going to put heads in beds, who's going to be here. They should be a part of any conversation that we have before we make a decision.
So, unfortunately, Visit Pensacola did not reach out, nor did they send any documentation for consideration. They are tasked with spending the money, not generating the money. So I thought it was important that we have the hoteliers that are tasked with generating that money to be here as well.
Well, I disagree. They are tasked with generating the money. It's an investment. But nevertheless, I mean, we're not going to have that debate.
Yeah, and I mean, that's true, right? They don't collect the money themselves. They spend the money, but they spend it in order to generate people coming here and then spending on hotels, out of which you get the tourism development tax or TDT money. So it's an odd situation because the hoteliers, via the what they're calling themselves the DMO, and Visit, which is the official DMO, are at odds over this, whether to go with a combined event space slash athletic facility out behind the Bay Center as a second building, or to go with a full-blown convention center, which will also need a keynote hotel to go along with it. That's kind of the Visit approach. And so there's a conflict between these two organizations. Now, the thing that, you know, we spent the first segment of all 3 hours so far, this is the third pass at this, just because this is big stuff. We're talking about spending $150 million, at least. And maybe more than that, if we start to add in things like an ice sheet or another hotel, and certainly a parking garage, is going to be, you know, tens of millions of dollars to build that as well. And one of the questions that I appreciated being asked, because, you know, I thought that I understood, but I also like when people ask basic questions. Jared Moore, city councilman, says, city council president right now, I guess Allison Patton is. He was formerly city council president.
I keep hearing about this flex space. Sounds like they're similar in size, can handle lots of uses. What is the difference between a convention center and one of these event centers, spats, you know, slash flex space? Is there an easy way to describe that?
Good question.
Delineate the difference?
We're talking about finishes. So, okay, you know, a flex event space, it's not going to have your chandeliers in the ballrooms, that kind of stuff. You're not going to have the fully carpeted floor space. You're going to roll out carpet on a temporary basis on an event by event needs. So you're looking at a Volkswagen Bug versus a Mercedes. Kind of a layman's way of putting it.
Is it built for big conventions and all the niceties that come with them, or is it built to be something else and can kind of adapt to making a temporary party area, you know, for the convention? And by the way, that voice is Michael Capps. He's the manager, I think, for the Bay Center. This is Bill Kruger. He's with CSL, Legends Global. That's the management company that Michael works for that operates the Bay Center.
The biggest difference with the event center is the fact that as a part of the construction budget, you're purchasing all the athletic equipment and you have storage facilities that are appropriate, like a climate controlled storage place for the hardwood, portable hardwood that you could pull out. So when you're trying to maximize your interest in attracting sports and recreation type activities, it's very important that you have that equipment, because otherwise you could have a convention space that's big enough to accommodate them, but somebody's got to pay to bring in all the courts and rent them or purchase them.
And that makes you less competitive in the marketplace, and it's a cost either you have to bear or they might have to bear, but they might not be willing to bear, and so they don't come to your facility. So part of the advantage being pitched of this flex space, you know, event slash small convention slash athletic activity, is that we would have storage for all of these different flooring. And I know it might seem like a weird thing, but a lot of this comes down to flooring and finishes. You know, chandeliers and hardwood, or, you know, like the kind of space you do cheerleading on, or carpet or concrete for like your trade shows and expos and things like that. And literally the floor is kind of one of the issues involved here.
What this kind of model really maximizes is both the amount of different diversity of events that you can attract and really compete for, and it also maximizes your operating performance within that space in terms of financial performance, because you're able to attract more events, retain more net revenue at the end of the day, because you already have all this equipment ready for them to plug and play. You've got many tournaments out there that won't consider a place unless it's got the dedicated equipment for them. If they're expected to bring it in with them, they're just not going to do that, many of them.
Yeah, and I mean, just to take an example of the Bay Center, it has ice capability, it has concrete capability, and, you know, think Pensacon versus Ice Flyers. And then when we have the Sun Belt Tournament, we have, you know, the flooring that used for basketball games, which is a different kind of flooring. And what he's saying is that, you know, what they're getting at is that if you're going to have this combo space, one of the big advantages is it can be anything to anybody, but because it's going to be that, it can't be the high end one big dedicated facility to do, for example, these conferences at. And so you're going to lose what Visit Pensacola has been arguing for all the time. And it's you get some of that, but not all of it. You can get the smaller conferences, kind of the, you know, weekday conferences versus the big old weekend ones. Jared Moore.
Thanks. Obviously, I'm encouraged to hear it. It sounds like there's a lot more consensus. I was afraid we were all kind of pushing and pulling in different directions, but it sounds like there's a lot more consensus once I understand kind of the nuance between the different details. So that's encouraging. Do agree. Let's get to work. We've talked about it postulate and theorize long enough. Let's go and get to work and make something happen.
Well, we sure have been postulating and theorizing, Professor Jared. John Pickens says traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner. Barbary Plumbing at 477-8782. Still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 29 and Pinestead Drive. But the good news is it's off to the side of the road and traffic is actually back to flowing smoothly again. And I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing about a 7-minute delay through that construction zone. And let's see here, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing a 5-minute delay. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. And by the way, in this whole conversation about the second building and then the ice sheet is a third building and the hotel is a fourth building and parking is a fifth option, and what about the Grand Hotel? Do keep this in mind. Part of the idea, take the ice sheet because that's the easiest one to understand. If we build a third building out on the northeast corner of Gregory and 9th Avenue that has an ice sheet in it all the time, okay, that means that the Ice Flyers can practice over there. They're going to have their games in the Bay Center. But that's a lot of ice time in the Bay Center that is now moved to another facility that frees up the Bay Center to do concerts or big theatrical performances. And if they make the Bay Center a whole lot better, bigger, more seats, more accommodating to those kinds of shows, it's a better facility to draw them in the first place, and you have less conflict between the need for ice practice and also what those shows can do. So building an ice facility would benefit the ice users and the non-ice users who want to use the Bay Center. The same thing for the flex space or the second building, if you want to call it that, is if you can have your, for example, graduations, right? We have graduations in the Bay Center. Why? Because it's big and it's there. What if you have the graduations at this second building? That frees up the Bay Center to be more for performances, theatrical or music concerts, all that kind of stuff. And so every additional space that you build creates the opportunity to take demand off the Bay Center and free it up to be used for the things that really are going to make it more money. And that's a part of this conversation as well. So Jared Moore says, let's go. They seem to be inclined to have Greg Harris figure out, you know, the owner of the Ice Flyers, to figure out about the ice space. Nobody's willing to put $30 million into that. Ashley Hoffberger.
We're looking at $71 million investment into the Bay Center for upgrades, an additional $84.4 million for an event center. It sounds like the type of event center that we want would support Monday through Friday business conventions. We would bring in business companies, and then on the weekends we would be able to flip that for sporting events, which I agree with. I think that's a great model.
So 71 for the Bay Center upgrades, 86 for the, you know, of flex space, whatever you want to call it, this second building that's not going to be dedicated to conventions only. So you're now talking about $150-160 million. Can we afford it? Well, the guy who I did not exactly expect to say this wound up saying, yes, we can definitely afford it. You had Stephen Berry, who said,
when you look at the numbers, I mean, we do have the ability to put probably closer to $150 million in, not $100.
Okay.
But that, and like I said, that if you look at some of the cost projection spreadsheets, that'll cover everything in the facility that we're in, plus everything associated with the facility adjacent to it. But that will kind of tap that out.
Okay. And that goes with the numbers that were shown earlier, $71 million roughly for renovations at the Bay Center, and then $86 million is what they projected for that facility, for the additional facility?
I think the number associated with the convention center was a little bit greater than the one associated with the, like, one more focused on the youth sports might have been more in the 65 or 70 range. But, yeah, more or less, Charles, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's Charles Bears, the other voice there. And, again, you know, if they bond against the tourism tax money coming in, they can afford, you know, both the Bay Center upgrade, $71 million, and also the second building for about $86 million. So $150 million altogether. And I was the one big takeaway for me was basically everybody was on board. The only one who really argued against any of this was Lumen, Commissioner Lumen May, who weirdly, for a guy whose his whole life is about youth athletics through the Southern Youth Sports Association, you know, so basketball, football, you know, baseball, NEP, all of that stuff. They're like, he's a huge sports guy. He wanted the convention center. And I couldn't explain it. Now, his arguments were things like that the families who come for, you know, cheerleading or volleyball or basketball tournaments, they want to go to get the cheap food and the cheap hotel, and they don't need to be downtown. What we want downtown is the businessman who's going to spend a lot of money and he's going to pay. He doesn't mind spending 20 bucks for a martini and 60 bucks for a steak. You know, like, that's not the family, but they want those people downtown. And that's true. But the problem is that if you do the convention center, then you don't really have the ability to do all this, you know, travel youth sports and some of the other flex space use that you could get. And so you're going to capture the one slice of the pie The argument is also that, you know, some of our direct routes with our airport don't quite work out the same way for these big conventions. We're trying for something where we're kind of, you know, going beyond our real skill level. We're trying to get something more than we're really able to do. Visit's answer, I think, is, yeah, but we should be trying for that, and we can grow to that capacity. So that's one of the arguments. The problem is it's one or the other. You can't do both. You know, if we had another $70 million to throw into, we could do everything. You know, we could do the convention center downtown and build a hotel for another, God, you know, $600,000 per key is the amount they were talking about. And then we could build the athletic facility out on like OLF 8 or something like that. And we could make everybody happy. Well, you know, we just don't have that kind of money. So the last question, the one that we, you know, really are trying to figure out is the parking. DC Reeves says maybe the city can handle that.
I can't speak for the voting body on the budget. I can say administratively, I certainly think the argument makes sense for there to be a city investment into parking because we can generate revenue in return on that parking. So I think that's certainly a fair philosophy moving forward.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about like $43,000 a space and how much do you sell that space for over the course of a year? I mean, is not even close to recouping the money, but it is something. He's right. It is something, and of course, you're going to get sales tax out of this deal because as people come to town, they spend more money. So what are they going to do? Renovate the Bay Center, build the second building, the city's going to look at parking, and we're done. Now, they didn't vote because it's not a voting meeting, but that's basically what they decided to do. And I did not expect there to be consensus. I did not expect them to get as far as they did in coming together about all this, but they really did, except for a couple of quibbles here and there. And I'm, you know, unless it all falls apart between now and the future, which does happen, this is the path that we're on. What do you think? 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. We've got an accident that just happened over in West Kingsfield and Waterbury Way over in Cantonment. Not seeing any delays associated with that. Just wanted you to be aware. Also, Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road, experiencing a 7-minute delay. And I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, experiencing an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of the most popular Christian hymns in the world is Jonathan Newton's Amazing Grace. And the word grace simply means unmerited favor. And grace is beautifully displayed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Grace is a step beyond mercy. Remember that mercy is withholding a penalty that you justly deserve. And of course, we love mercy. However, grace is not only withholding a penalty that we rightly deserve, but grace is also giving us something that we have not earned. The fact is that we're all sinners, and the Bible says we deserve punishment for our sin. But God's grace says, here's Jesus, and he has perfectly paid your sin penalty and mine. Believe on him today. That's amazing grace.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids. Rolaids dual active formula has calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. Yeah, you heard right. Two actives for that powerful relief. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaid spells powerful relief. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, isn't that special?
7:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Iran says peace talks with the U.S. that are planned to take place in Pakistan are a no-go for now. A foreign ministry spokesman said that the U.S. had violated the ceasefire by firing on that Iranian-flagged vessel. President Trump posted on Truth Social yesterday that his envoys would be arriving in Pakistan today for negotiations. Energy Secretary Chris Wright says he believes gas prices will start to go down soon. He was on CNN's State of the Union on Sunday morning. He said that the resolution of the Iran conflict would allow those prices to dip. So we'll have to see what happens there. Aaron Carter's mother has started a GoFundMe for the star. To get a star for him on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The Aaron's Party singer died as a result of an accidental drowning back in 2022.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 7:30 on News Radio 92.3. Fun events over the weekend. Men Who Cook will tell you about that. Bird watching in Dauphin Island. It was kind of a fun thing. I'll tell you about that. And are dogs responsible for killing the planet? Very interesting. Very interesting story coming up next.
News. I'm CJ Pop, the top U.S. officials heading in Pakistan for a second round of peace talks.
Don't necessarily have a time and day yet for these talks. State media associated with the Iranian regime claims Iran may not send a delegation here to Islamabad as long as that U.S. blockade remains in the Strait of Hormuz. But Iran's reluctance to publicly confirm could just be posturing or doing their own public relations.
Fox's Matt Finn, Islamabad, Pakistan. U.S. Marines rappelling from a military helicopter grabbing control of Iranian cargo ship.
President Trump announced the seizure on Truth Social overnight, saying, quote, the Iranian crew refused to listen, so our Navy ship stopped them right in their tracks by blowing in a hole in the engine room. Right now, U.S. Marines have custody of the vessel.
And as Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv, the U.S. blockade of Iranian ports remain in effect. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 52 and sunshine. We'll get to our full forecast with Channel 3 in just a few minutes. An Escambia County man is in custody after a deadly shooting in Pensacola Sunday morning. Deputies say a 38-year-old woman was shot and killed near Gulf Beach Highway and Gulf Breeze Avenue. Authorities identified a suspect as 64-year-old James Pelzer. He's currently in the Escambia County Jail on a homicide charge, being held without bond. Investigators said the shooting appeared to be an isolated incident. Another man wanted in connection to an Escambia County homicide is now in custody after being arrested across the country. The sheriff's office said 29-year-old Devon Williamson was arrested Friday in Phoenix, Arizona. He was apparently waiting for a bus to go to El Paso. He's expected to be extradited back to Escambia County. The case dates back to an incident March 4th when deputies responded to a shots fired call on Booker Lane. They found shell casings and blood at the scene there. Investigators linked a missing person to that scene, ultimately identifying that individual as being the homicide victim. Nearly $3.5 million road safety project on Highway 4A near Century is getting a lot closer to completion. The project covers about 5.5 miles of roadway from Burnville to Century, including lane widening, overlay work, guardrail upgrades, and drainage improvements. The county expanded the project to include an additional stretch from State Line Road to Highway 29. Substantial completion of that project is expected by next week. Final completion by May 15th. Well, there's some new details in last week's incident outside of the Jackson County Courthouse in Pascagoula. The suspect has been identified as David Wierick. Apparently, he stole a welding truck loaded with oxygen and propane tanks from a work site nearby before he crashed it into that communications tower at the county's emergency services building. The tanks caught on fire. That was later extinguished by fire crews. Wierick was shot and killed by deputies outside of the courthouse after allegedly trying to ignite the propane tanks in an apparent attempt to cause an explosion. Blue Origin successfully launched its new Glenn rocket from Cape Canaveral last week. Apparently, they placed the commercial communications satellite into the wrong orbit, though, making it unusable. It was the third flight for the new Glenn rocket, the first to reuse the rocket's first stage. Florida Senator Rick Scott says President Trump does have the right to use military power without a formal war declaration. He was on Fox News. Scott said Trump is doing the right thing in the Iran conflict. He accused Democrats of lacking credibility in their opposition to the military action. 7:34 here, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a quick check on our forecast.
A bit of some drier air this morning with temperatures warming up this afternoon near 76 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 76. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Heading into Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a small chance of a stray sprinkle, 10% overall, high near 76. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 63. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 52 degrees and sunshine this morning. Let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still dealing with the accident that happened at Kingsfield Road and Waterbury Way. I'm not seeing any delays associated with that one, but I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 experiencing about a 7-minute delay. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing a 12-minute delay in that area. 98 westbound as you approach Gulf Breeze, about a 6-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
7:35, your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Entertainment is taking a back seat as energy prices soar. Consumer spending and credit card balances remain healthy, but the U.S.-Iran war has led to a pullback in entertainment-related discretionary purchases. Placer.ai data says that spending at Dave & Buster's and other entertainment venues such as bowling and escape rooms are in a slump. FBI Director Kash Patel told Fox News he will sue the Atlantic magazine for defamation over an article reporting he frequently drinks to excess. The Atlantic's editor-in-chief said, quote, "We stand by our reporting on Kash Patel." Crude oil prices are sky high, up by more than 5% as the U.S. and Iran teetered on the brink of a renewed war after attacks on commercial ships in the Strait of Hormuz. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at roughly $88 per barrel, Brent at nearly $94. Futures have dropped moderately amid the war in the Middle East. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 868, the NASDAQ up 365. That's Your Money Now.
When did watching TV go from a way to relax to a complicated chore? Well, if you're sick of huge cable bills or endlessly searching for the show everyone's talking about, then welcome to Philo. Philo's the streaming service that respects both your time and your wallet, without needing to cut the stuff you actually love to watch. This means live TV for more than 70 channels like Hallmark, History, A&E, and Lifetime, plus a huge library of blockbuster movies and classic shows, and an easy-to-use unlimited DVR that lets you save anything you want and skip all the ads when you watch. The best part? You get all this for just $25 a month when you sign up at philo.tv. No hidden fees, no long contracts, just a genuinely great deal. And new users can try it completely free for 7 days. So head to philo.tv, that's philo.tv, and experience a better way to TV. Subscriptions auto-renew at monthly rate plus applicable taxes. Cancel anytime. See terms at philo.tv.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right and a radio.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Congressman Jimmy Patronis. And by the way, I told you there would be a couple of stories coming. This is why I don't do teases, because I had mistakenly thought we were not going to be speaking to Jimmy today, but that's because apparently I cannot read a text thread properly. So that's my fault. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Hey, buddy. Good morning.
Hey, good to have you. So, how much of the IEEPA tariff refunds are you scheduled to get? I think it's like $170 billion that Customs and Border Protection is going to start issuing. The portal opens today, and companies that got the that paid in, you know, Costco, Target, Sam's, Amazon, all these companies that paid in billions of dollars are going to start getting their money back. A tenth of the GDP of Florida is going to swing back to private hands after this.
You know, that really gets under my skin. I think Trump was in the right place. There was things he was doing with tariffs. He was stopping wars. He was leveraging countries where he didn't want to start a war, where they were having bad behavior. And then this comes out. And you know, there's no way that these CEOs are going to get these enormous kickbacks from the federal government, who passed all these additional expenses to the consumer, are going to do any type of return. What I'm interested in, Andrew, is when it comes time to bonus time, I think we'll create a website, CEOBonusesFromTariffs.com, because I'm going to see how many of these companies, they give massive bonuses to their CEOs when they had nothing to do with the increased revenues, but based on the tariffs that they increased their prices with anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, I know, you know, the justification for a lot of the product cost increase to the consumer was, oh, well, tariffs, you know, thank President Trump. Okay. Yeah. I mean, fair. I get it. That's the nature of a tariff. It's a tax on me. You know, the importer pays it, but I ultimately pay it as the consumer. Okay. Now you're getting a refund. Where's mine? You know, I want my refund.
You know, I mean, I'm sure there'll be some of these companies that will be cute, and they'll do some type of novelty consumer benefit back out. But for the most part of them, we're just going to try. Hopefully this thing goes on overdrive and some other issue flares up where this thing all gets forgotten about. So hopefully we just got to keep on stirring the pot.
You know where it strikes me this could go? And, you know, you might be in just the right position to do this, because, you know, you're close to the president. Because he lost, and I actually agree with the Supreme Court. I think that what he was doing was not legal. That doesn't mean I disagree with the point, what he was trying to accomplish, but, you know, you have to do it a certain way. But, okay, he's obviously furious about being told that the IEEPA tariffs cannot hold up, and now the government is having to pay it back all this money. What if the president said, you know what, we're paying back all this money because all these companies, you know, are wanting a refund? Okay, cool. The ones who refund to the customer an appropriate level of what we're refunding to them, we're going to do business with them, or we're going to preference them or prioritize them. And the ones who don't, there's going to be problems. There's going to be hell to pay. And by the way, since we're the federal government and we are issuing the checks, we're in a position to be able to sort of monitor this a little bit, to do a little doging of our own on the tariff refunds. You know, I'm not asking him to, I don't know about enforcement exactly, but it seems like something in this direction, somebody fairly clever could come up with a way to make sure that the end American and not the CEO and the dividend shareholders are the ones who get the money.
Well, at the end of the day, the federal government, our United States military, all of our federal agencies, they buy from the retailers also. I mean, you can't run the federal government without the consumables and mm-hmm. the and the things that we still have to buy off the shelf to do our day-to-day business.
Oh, so, no, that's a good point.
I mean,
the government has had to spend extra money because of the tariffs, too, on the purchasing side. You're right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so it's just, I don't know. Guys, you really learned how to get me going without coffee today. Thank you.
Well, time to go. I have not been following this story all that closely, so I know you have been and care quite a bit about it. What is the connection between the FSU shooter and the ChatGPT? What happened here?
Yeah, so now this shooter used ChatGPT in order to kind of lay out his murder plan. And so now this guy's not been convicted, but he's been caught. He's in a jail. These are now coming out through discovery. So, like, some of the questions he asked ChatGPT, he asked all types of crazy stuff, like anybody else who was a, you know, psychopath, you know, having a friend with an android robot would have. But one of them he goes, when you have a Glock pistol, does it have a safety? It says, no, a Glock, you just point and shoot. That's where it goes. And then he's asking a follow-up question. What are the busiest times at FSU Student Union where there's the most people? You know, so then he built out this whole series of questions that were used in the day of the shooting. So, I mean, this is concerning. This gets back to, you know, Section 230 with me, and big tech has got to be responsible, you know. I know this guy was an adult. You know, I care more about the kid side of things, but here's a specific wherewithal where Section 230 protects in place, there'd be probably two more people still alive.
I mean, if, you know, at a certain point, if you asked a human, help me do a more efficient mass shooting, and the human gave you actionable advice like floor plans and people and where the cameras are and what to do and what to avoid, I mean, that person gets tried as at least an accomplice, you know? So
absolutely. Absolutely. And so then, and if you, if I ask you these same questions, you probably say something's up with Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go give his mom or dad a call, or I'm going to give, you know, a family member, or maybe his boss call, maybe even law enforcement. But you would probably call somebody that was a degree of separation out of abundance of concern. Even she could text.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, none of that was done because of Section 230 law protections that are imposed upon these social media companies.
You know, and it's an interesting, there's a whole separate question. I guess I'd never thought much about it, but, you know, if you say some things in front of a mandatory reporting person, they have to call the authorities. And, you know, if you're asking for advice from these companies about, or from this tool, you know, how to do crimes, you know, why isn't that some kind of a reporting situation? I don't know the answer. I haven't thought a lot about that, but that, it raises that question for sure. We're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman from Florida, Northwest Florida District 1. Hang on, Jimmy. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. It's brought to you by Florida West. Did you know the Florida West focuses on attracting and expanding businesses that create jobs, increase wages, and strengthen Escambia County's economy? Let's see here. We're back to accident-free right now. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Experiencing about an 8-minute construction delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Patronis. And look, I know, you know, First Amendment protections are probably going to be prohibitive on something like what I was just talking about, but still, it's worth thinking about at least a little bit if we can, you know, do something more, especially because these tools are so dangerous and so, you know, powerful. You were at the East Milton Wastewater Treatment Plant ribbon cutting for Santa Rosa County the other day. What was the nature of your presence there?
Yeah, so I tell you, Santa Rosa County, it's exciting what they've got going on in their industrial park. Shane and the county commission over there have done a great job, whether it be Buffalo Rock or the ice cream companies, the different folks they've been able to bring into that market. And so part of the need when you've got an industrial park is you've got to have adequate wastewater. You know, manufacturing consumes lots of water, and sometimes it spins off lots of wastewater.
Yeah.
So this is the first time that the county has endeavored into a utility type of service for constituents there. So, I mean, it's one of those things. It's not sexy, but if you want jobs, you got to have it. You've got to have the infrastructure. And so I got to be – it was an honor for me. I was there at the groundbreaking. And, you know, we're going to really see even more good things out of Santa Rosa County. And it's just like, it was so appropriate. You know, John's tease just before was for economic development of Escambia County. You've always got to have an arm of your county out there selling what your county has got. If you want good jobs, you want higher paying jobs, if you want diversity in your economy. And that's exactly what they're doing in Santa Rosa with that package plan.
It's funny, the things you think are interesting as a kid and the things you think are interesting as an adult once you realize how the world works, and, you know, potholes and sewage and electricity and infrastructure and road capacity. I mean, these are big things.
Stormwater.
Stormwater. No doubt. TSA, this story, how are we still not paying? What in the world? This is ridiculous.
So there's only a limited amount of money that the administration's got to Rob from Peter to pay Paul to make these things work. There has been a couple rounds of back. There has been significant back pay that the TSA agents have gotten.
Okay.
But this is unfortunately the Democrats at some point, hopefully they get bored with themselves on this issue and they find something else they want to do. But I'm telling you, this boils down to politics. They're able to take the ICE issue and they fundraise off of it. That's all they do. They take it, they put it in an email, they put it in a text message. It's their sound bites at the political rallies. It does very well with their voting base. So they do this in order to have war paint on their face, in order to get a rise out of their supporters. It's horrible. It's gross. But this is politics at its worst.
Eric Swalwell is out. I mean, good. I'm glad there's swift accountability. You had Gonzalez, I think, is also out. Of course, the question that people are asking is, well, did nobody know? Did nobody have any idea? Is there any real accountability in Congress for bad actors, of which I feel fairly confident in saying those aren't the only two?
Yeah, so, I mean, where it boils down with the case of Swalwell were the things in his case, he was going to be eaten alive outside. He's going to by the court system and by his accusers and maybe go to jail. In the case of, we'll take Swalwell for example, he was going to be dragged into a committee, the ethics committee, and the questions were not going to be pleasant. So you know what this guy does? You know what? I'm going to get that off my schedule, and I'm going to go and drop the heck out of Congress. So you know these guys, they're feeling the heat outside of the chamber, which they'll deal in the court system, which is not as public as being on national TV with cameras pointing at you, having difficult questions asked about whatever you did outside of the congressional process. So again, this is a decision that he and his attorneys made to get out of Congress. So it's just less bloodletting. Same thing with Gonzalez. You know, there's others in the pipeline what's her face? I don't even remember her name yet. From South Florida, who stole $5 million from FEMA. Mm-hmm. The ethics committee has investigated. It has found that she brought her up on multiple charges. She'll be gone soon enough, and she will no longer be dealing with the prosecution in Congress. She'll be dealing with the prosecution in the federal court system outside of the process.
You know, it's interesting, too, because you have, as we've talked about many times, it's such a razor-thin margin in Congress right now. And, you know, with Swalwell out and others, you know, you had an impeachment vote that failed by a vote, literally one vote one way or the other. What was it, I think, 213 to 214? You know, that's, whew.
Well, there's a lot of dumb people. Congress is just like, you know, your group at work or your group at church or your group at school or your group in your
don't
your
insult
club.
My church and my workplace like that. How dare you, sir?
It's the rule of numbers. 10% of them are knuckleheads. You know, they do stupid stuff, and you know it catches up with you. If you play stupid games, you're gonna win stupid prizes.
I still think our congressman just said my church is as dumb as Congress. How dare you?
There are people at church you don't talk to.
No, you're right. You're right. That's true. Last thing. Strait of Hormuz, it's open, it's closed, it's what do you have? I mean, the ceasefire is supposed to end on Wednesday. What do you think is happening? What do you think is going to happen here?
I think the Navy's putting holes in boats.
Yeah, that's true.
There was multiple ample warnings for them to stop, and they tried to get by, and you know, the Navy punched them in the nose. So, speaking of the Navy, NAS Pensacola celebrated their 200th birthday this week.
That's right.
Kind of exciting things they
did. Right. Yeah. I think Captain Chandra Newman had put out a video on that, and I completely forgot about it. All part of our leading up to the Navy Days, you know, celebration coming up next month. But yeah, you're right. The 200th anniversary for NAS Pensacola, pretty significant, right?
Yeah, they've got a whole new patch for this year, and she texted me a photo of it the other day. And anyway, so honored to be able to have that in our backyard.
No, it's fantastic.
We all should be celebrating that.
Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time, sir, and we'll talk to you again next week.
See you next week, bud. Take care.
You bet. 7:55, News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. We've got an accident that just happened right in front of Sacred Heart Hospital on 9th Avenue. It's a hit-and-run crash with injuries. Starting to see some backups on 9th Avenue also, so just be aware of that. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing a 7-minute construction delay, and also 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
It is always funny when a thing happens on the weekend and it's not like weekday show prep for me, I miss it or forget it. So, yeah, no, congratulations, NAS Pensacola, over the weekend on Saturday, 200 years. Amazing. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are very good at this. They sold 209 homes last year. 209. That means 4 weeks. The most productive team selling residential real estate in this area. And what that brings for you, you know, why should you care? Well, I mean, they're so busy. How will they spend time with me? They do. That personalized touch is something that Christina is emphatic about, but also it's experience. You know, they know how to stage it, photograph it, list it, what price, who to, you know, show it to, how to follow up, and then how to navigate through the, you know, challenges of getting all the way through to closing, which is not always easy. And there's a reason deals fall through, and sometimes that reason is because people don't know enough about how to make sure the deals don't fall through. Well, they've done it enough times where they really know how to get around those problems and solve them and to avoid them in the first place. And if there is a novel problem, to solve that too because of that experience of making deals happen. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Visit Pensacola's home for all things Pensacola. I'm Nicole Stacy, Vice President of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beaches, festivals, and all things fun. You don't want to miss it.
Thing too that I love about where we live and our beaches is that they're family beaches.
Friday at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Bag up, bag up. Bag up, Terry. Put it in reverse, Terry. Put it in reverse. Oh, Lord. Lord, Jesus.
Light up, everybody.
All right, Chris, what's next?
Andrew McKay with
holy crap!
Bringing
it, the
your son who continues to grow, and I don't understand how he's that tall, but that's totally fine.
Wow, you got to bring my height into this.
Love it.
Congrats, dude.
Tomorrow you are today's good news. I feel like I had a hand in that because Andrew brought in samples and we were like, oh, this is trash, but you should go with that one. And you went with the one we all picked. So
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Brent Lane emceeing yesterday at the Men Who Cook. And my son and I got our third statuette, our third trophy for Men Who Cook. Best main, carne asada with basil chimichurri sauce, which, John, you've sampled, and
yes,
David
amazing.
Has sampled. And I did, in fact, bring it in for everybody to try. And they said this is the one to go with. So we did. Fantastic. David Wayne, I've given you about 10 seconds for a news story, if you have a headline for me, sir.
Yep, sure do. The 130th Boston Marathon being run today. Tens of thousands of runners are expected, with many flocking to Boston from around the globe.
Very good. And by the way, the Pace Center for Girls, great charity helping out young girls and young women. And so proud every year to be able to help them raise money. That
Lisa on air.